So we're back again for another edition of the Panthers pre-game podcast, joined by the two musketeers, Jono Bullard, the Panthers commentator, and his wingman, shall I call him, the former Panthers netminder, and the colour guy, Dan Green. Good evening to both of you.
Evening, hello, Chris.
All right then, guys. I saw somebody after our post-game podcast said none of us knew what we're talking about. We've known that for a long time, but then at least we saw it written down. So let's hope somebody thinks we know what we're talking about this time. But there you go.
I'm not hopeful.
No, not hopeful. Yeah. Right out there. Straight out there. Basically said we didn't know what we're talking about. So there you go. But we've known that for years. Greener, I mean, I can tell he's not really listening. Greener is going to be... Greener, you're watching Tottenham tonight in the Champions League. I was going to say you're a Bracknell boy, but is it right you were born in Leamington Spa?
It is, yes.
So how are you a Tottenham fan?
Well, I was born there, but I never really lived there. I think it was quite random that I was born there.
But then you went to Bracknell, yeah? So how are you a Tottenham fan? I'm still the same question.
Well, so I obviously grew up in Bracknell, which doesn't really have any links to Tottenham. My only, to be honest, I don't really know. All I remember is my earliest memories of football were Italia 90.
Oh,
like, oh, what a tournament that was.
Oh, great for Stuart Pearce, my idol.
I mean, I don't really remember much. I sort of remember just that's the first time I ever watched football. And obviously they had like Gazza and Lineker, who both played for Tottenham. And then when the World Cup finished, I obviously didn't really understand football at that young age, but obviously Tottenham wear white. I think I thought Tottenham were England for a while because they were in white and they had Gazza and Lineker. And then the next year, 91, Tottenham won the FA Cup. I think they beat Forest.
Oh, Greener. Come on. I was there at Wembley,
And I just remember... I don't really remember watching it, but I just remember it was Tottenham in a final and they won, and then that was it. I just sort of supported him ever since. So, I mean, you can't really say glory hunter because they barely won anything since. But
Bracknell Town not good enough for you then, though?
No, I did watch Wokingham Town a few times, which is actually the little town I'm from. I'm not sure I've ever seen Bracknell play, but no, they weren't. I mean, to be fair, Reading should be my team. That's the... But, like, when I was that young, Reading were, like, I don't even know what
It'd
league
be like
they're in.
Third, fourth division then,
yeah,
wouldn't
exactly.
They?
Yeah. So I've seen them quite a few times. But, yeah, I'll put it down for the World Cup and, like, Lineker scoring and then being from Tottenham. So, yeah, that's my...
Hey, me and you, John, are in that same Wembley Stadium in 91 and we didn't realise it.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny,
who knew 30 years later, eh?
Yeah. But isn't that funny, though? You were both there and I was sat at home watching it. Like,
yeah. Anyway, this is an ice hockey podcast.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
That just proves that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a Tottenham fan,
so. No, this is why you're on, Greener, because you do know what we're talking about. You do know what you're talking about. Now, listen, let's start. We're going to touch back to the weekend very shortly indeed. But I'm going to start with you, Greener. You know, three game schedules, you know, they are intense, aren't they? It's going to be a tough weekend. But if the boys can get on a roll, it could be a benefit, couldn't it? It can go either way, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. It's going to be one or two ways. You know, obviously, if they sort of come out a bit slow and struggle, it could snowball and turn into something. You know, we could keep this slump going. But, you know, I always found that when you have tough games, you know, a lot of them in a row, if you can win one and then get points in the next, like you said, it can be a catalyst and you can use it to gain momentum. So I think obviously the most important game obviously is the Friday game. If they get a good result in that, hopefully they can springboard and just keep going from there. So, you know, it's obviously a long bus ride, maybe still down a body or two, depending on how guys recover. And, you know, I know Dundee have obviously had a poor start, but, you know, they're obviously decent in that rink and it's going to be a tough game with the travel and stuff. But yeah, I think if they can get a good result Friday, then it becomes easier, but confidence starts to grow and hopefully they can kind of build from there.
Jono, Mike Hammond's been day by day and Andrew Johnston. Andrew Johnston, of course, not been missing as long as Mike Hammond. Just strikes me how crucial it could be for Panthers to get Mike Hammond back in the lineup.
Yeah, he's been the catalyst for a lot of the good things that the Panthers have done this season, whether he pops up with an overtime winner, whether he comes up with an outrageous bit of skill, which I think we saw the last time he played against Dundee. There was one bit right in centre ice. There was like a shoulder drop and beat two or three players. He is just an incredibly skillful, incredibly creative player. And since he's been out, the Panthers have missed him massively, I think.
Greener, I don't want to make excuses because everyone at the club knows it's been a poor start to the season. And ultimately, Panthers should be doing better. But Gary Graham has barely had his first choice roster to choose from. Just how disruptive can it be when you're just getting a very unsettled lineup?
Yeah, really disruptive. And I think as well, it's not like it's been, you know, one guy out for the whole time and you learn to adapt. It's like, you know, one week it's this guy, the next week it's that guy. You know, who's missed time so far? Caruso, Johnson. Obviously, he's touched on Mike Hammond.
Sorensen,
yeah. Ferreira missed at least one. You know, it's almost like every week it's somebody different, and it's, you know, you never want an injury, but if you miss one guy for 6 weeks, you learn to live without them as best as you can. But it's almost like one in, one out, one in, two out, and it's so disruptive, and it's the chemistry 5-on-5, but it's also, you know, me and John always talk about the how important like the power plays are, and just, you know, Hammond is great on the power play. Sorensen's been going to have it. Ferreira's massive on the power play. And every week, one of them at least has been out. And you just can't get any fluidity. And it sounds like an excuse because obviously everybody has injuries, but to be missing one or two different players every week is a nightmare for Gary.
Jono, I mean, Panthers could do with picking up points. We talked about how important the league game is, and that goes without saying. Need to get back into this title groove. But the Challenge Cup as well. I mean, Glasgow are already done and dusted. So there's only one team to lose. I mean, Cardiff, I know from speaking to their players, have been nervously looking over their shoulder. They picked up points, didn't they, last weekend in Guildford, 4 points. Was it? They picked up 4 in the cup. In fact, they were the first 4 in the cup, weren't they, for them? Mm. There is work for Nottingham to do, for the Panthers to do, to guarantee those final spots, basically.
Absolutely there is. And we're facing a Storm team who are very, very, very strong offensively. I've been looking at some of their figures. And right through their roster, they've got players who are scoring lots and lots of points. Ryan Barrow, who came from the NCAA, the University of Denver, he's 17 points from 11 games. Jesper Orval, 9+8, same, 17 points from 11 games. And they've got scoring right through their lineup. Scott Simmons has got 11 points. Tyson Fawcett's got 7. Cam Critchlow, their captain's got 8. Zach Herman in defence has got 10. So they're very, very deep offensively, and that's what Panthers have got to watch out for. They are a bit leaky at the back. They have conceded a few goals, which is something that I'm sure the Panthers will be looking at. But if the Storm can get on a roll and they can score a few goals, they could really hurt us this weekend. And looking at the table for the Challenge Cup, Panthers, I feel, need at least one win, preferably two, to stay with it with a chance of qualifying for the next round.
Yeah, looking at the other group, Cardiff got that win. It was 2 points last weekend. I think they got their other points against Coventry on the 1st of October. Mm. You know, but as I said, speaking to guys in Cardiff the night that the Panthers lost 5-1, that they were nervously looking over their shoulder, and they knew how crucial that game in Guildford was, because, you know, that would have been for Cardiff, if they hadn't have won that, 2 points from 6 matches. So the thing is, for Nottingham, you know, and if people don't understand the format, basically it will go on points percentage. So yeah, at the moment, the teams that look like maybe missing out, it's a race between perhaps Nottingham, Manchester and Cardiff.
Yeah.
I mean, you still look at Guildford and Coventry, and that group could go anyway, but they've played a couple less games. But, you know, so there's no guarantee in that one, is it? But it's probably a bit closer for comfort, Jono, than Nottingham would want at this stage.
Yeah, definitely. it's going to be a really pivotal weekend, I think, with these two games against Manchester. And obviously, the game in Manchester, always a tough rink to go to, and it's the third game for Panthers in three. That is going to be a tough ask to get a result there when you're going to have tired bodies. It's a notoriously difficult rink to get a result in. Panthers are really going to have to dig deep and show all their depths of reserve to try and get something out of that game, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of really trying to work things out in my head, but Cardiff at the bottom of that group, the most they could get now is to 8 points. Obviously, if they get
0.500, wouldn't it?
Which would be 0.5. Yeah. Let's forget the points. Actually, good point. So you know, very much right about the fact that it's a pivotal weekend. Greener, what's it like for a 3-3 for the guys? Do you see fatigue in guys once that third game comes around?
Yeah, I think so. You know, hopefully all of the guys can get through all the games and we're not picking up any more injuries, which means we might, you know, be shorter as it goes on. I think sometimes, again, if you have a good first win, almost the sort of, because you're doing well, it hides that tiredness. Whereas if you're not winning, the sort of tiredness almost comes to fruition a bit more. But yeah, I mean, I think it's not just the, I know obviously Manchester's not that far, but it's the travel and not just the three games. If you had three home games all at 7 o'clock, you get all, you know, all that time at home, the rest, but you know, up to Dundee, back, get back at 3 in the morning. And then, you know, I'm sure the Sunday game is probably a bit earlier than we used to. I know it's not too far to go to Manchester, but it's going to be really tough. And, you know, big ice surface here on the Saturday, so lots of skating. And, yeah, I think it's going to be really tough. I mean, I would say, obviously, with no disrespect, if you had to pick the two teams you were going to play in those games, you know, I know Manchester are in good form, but there's not much travelling. It's probably two of the lower end teams. But you know, like Jono said, you're going to want to at least split with Manchester. It's just sort of digging away. Sounds a cliche, but just, you know, shift at a time, game at a time, collect as many points as you can, and just try and move on. Hopefully, without any more injuries.
Come to you, Jono, on outskaters in a minute, but Greener, Alex Debeau has clearly been the starting netminder the majority of the games now, and deservedly so. Jack Berry's done nothing wrong. He's just not having a look in because Debeau is one of Gary Graham's best players right now. Would you expect, though, to see Berry slotted in somewhere this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see there's any way they can. I mean, I'm sure he could probably do it, but I don't, you know. I mean, I'm not, as you said, Jack Berry's been good when he's played. So I would imagine Jack Berry will play at home on the Saturday. That would probably be, because I don't want to say the easiest of the three, but, you know, like Jono said, Manchester's a really tough place to play. Friday's probably the most important game. So you would think Jack Berry at home to Manchester, hopefully his time to shine. But I might be wrong with which game, but I would imagine almost certainly Jack Berry will play one of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got two... Well, he's obviously got two ways of doing it. You either go Debeau, Debeau, Berry, or Debeau, Berry, Debeau, don't you, Jono?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you agree, Jono?
Yeah, I think... If it was me, that is what I would expect to see. But who knows? Who knows? Or to Gary in the end.
I'm jumping ahead of things here, and I, you know, we don't know because we've had guys that are day to day. But if the guys that are day to day are fit and Archie Hazeldon's around, it strikes me that there's one extra outskater. So Jono, there's a chance there if everybody was fit, only Caruso out. You've basically got one extra outskater because we had the addition of Levin to freshen things up. He could make a change with the outskaters as well, which would be useful for a 3-3.
Yeah, of course, that's possible. And absolutely, the deeper the squad is, the more players you can bring in, the better it's going to be for such a schedule with 3-3 over the weekend. I mean, we don't know any injury update at the moment, but if we could get both Andrew Johnson and Mike Hammond back for the weekend, then it puts us in a more positive position with more options available to the head coach.
Going back to the weekend, we've got to touch on it, and we'll start with Cardiff, Jono, because I know you saw most of that game. How impressed were you with Cardiff? Cardiff have undergone a little bit of change, obviously a change in coach. They've got some names that were great for the past few years. Someone like Joey Martin back, some new additions as well. How impressed? I mean, Cardiff are what now? 5-5, I think, in elite. Yeah, 5-5 in elite league play. Because, of course, they got 4 points with the league win over us and the cup win in Guildford. They are going to be a force to be reckoned with, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing we always know about the Cardiff Devils is the fact, I think it was something that Dan and myself mentioned in the pre-season game, is that I think they have 14 returning players and then another 3 who had come back after seasons away. So they only have 4 new, brand new players to slot into that squad. So they know how each other play. There's a great core there. And I'd actually seen them the previous Sunday against Manchester, where they won 3-0. They'd gone into Manchester and put up a really, really good defensive performance, prevented Manchester from scoring in their own rink. And then they carried on that form to the home game against us on the Friday. They are a very, very good side. And I think when the silverware is being handed out at the end of the season, they will be there or thereabouts, certainly for the league title, I think.
And Greener, just to touch on Fife, I mentioned this in my final question to Gary Graham on Saturday. You know, that for as much as it was bad for Panthers, there's 2 teams on the ice, and you've got to credit Fife. I thought they came in, they played a controlled game. Hats off to former Panthers, Chris Lawrence and Zach Phillips. You know, as much as there was disappointment around the Panthers fan base, totally understandable, Fife were impressive.
Yeah, they were really good. And me and Jono said that when Jono asked me about, you know, the start of the game, and it was kind of like, if we come out strong and maybe score, I think it'll, you know, we can be all over them. But, you know, if Fife come out and they can, I was thinking Fife would want to, you know, hold on for the first period, 10 minutes period, and build into it. But literally from the drop of the puck, that first 2 minutes, they were, you know, all over our end, having chances. And yeah, I mean, obviously they were fresh and we played the night before, but they came out absolutely flying. And, you know, for a team that's had a rough start, it looked like they were full of confidence, you know, D-men joining the rush, forwards flying around everywhere, creating chances, Dubow making big saves. And it looked like a team, yeah, full of confidence. And you know, obviously when the Panthers ever lose at home, there's going to be criticism towards them. And, you know, there obviously should have been on Saturday, but I think it was more about Fife. You know, we weren't firing, obviously, but Fife were excellent and they gave us a really good game. And I think, you know, deservedly came away with the 2 points.
Interesting to see how the team responds, because last time, obviously, there was a heavy loss at home to Coventry. They came back with those performances against Sheffield and Dundee. Now, obviously, it's been 3 defeats in a row. I think the one in Sheffield, we all agree, was a gritty performance and men down, and no one could be disappointed about that. But then subsequently to Cardiff and to Fife were disappointing. Greener, in hockey, it's as much about how you do in good times as well to how you respond to the bad times, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, every team, like you said, it's obviously been an up and down start for the Panthers, and there's no doubt in that. But, you know, like you said, every time we've played badly or lost or had a bad week, we seem to have responded well. But I think they need to respond, and not just with sort of, you know, maybe a win on Friday and, oh, that's good, we've come back with a win. It's, for me, and we say this a lot on commentary, it's more about the performances. It's about this weekend, you know, obviously 6 points is the aim, but it's about 3 good performances, intense, professional, hopefully scoring some goals, work ethic, that Panthers style of hockey. And I think if we play that certain way, that the results and the points will take care of themselves. So, you know, it all starts on Friday. Hopefully get a win there, and then it just hopefully snowballs. But I think without worrying too much about the points, if the performances are there, I think the points will come, hopefully.
Jono, you were part of a nice little thing that happened on Tuesday. Some of the guys went on the ice. A couple of schools from Nottinghamshire attended. Jack Berry, Archie Hazeldine, Jordan Kelsor, Kelly Summers, and the head coach, Gary Graham, I believe you were the ones around from memory. Mm. Just tell me, that's so nice, isn't it? And you spoke to Kelly Summers, who talked about how much he enjoyed it. You know, that to see that interaction, the Q&A followed by the bit on the ice, you know, that's great to see.
Yeah, it's great. It was a really, really good event. I mean, it was just for the Panthers players, just a normal training session, but just with about 100 kids in attendance watching them play. And I think that helped the guys relax a bit, because it looked a really, really good training session from when I was down there, and the kids there seemed to really, really enjoy it. The Q&A after training was great, and the players really got into it. Lots of great questions, and these kids were sort of like only sort of 8, 9, 10 years old as well, and they were asking some really good questions that made the guys think. And it's nice to have these sort of events where we've got school children coming in, they're going on the ice for a skate afterwards. Kelly Summers and Jack Berry stayed on the ice and was helping some of the kids skate. It was really, really great to see. A really good community feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's just a really good community project that the club works on in association with the arena there. And Ryan Rathbone and the arena there, absolutely fantastic. And yeah, basically one a month. I feel like we touched on it before, but did you ever skate with the Bees when you were a kid, Greener? Do you get something like that?
Do you know what? I don't remember skating with them, but we used to do a lot. I mean, when I was sort of, say, 10 to 14, every practice there would be one player on the ice with us. So
who was on the, come on, roll off some name. Can you remember who was on the ice?
Oh yeah, it would have been, I mean, back in the day,
be Super League days, would it be then?
It would have been before that. So no,
it would have been, yeah, of course it would. Yeah, because, yeah, by the way, happy birthday again. Did you have a good day?
Thank you.
Yeah.
21 again. Yeah. So it would have been old British National League or whatever.
No, the one. So were you talking about late mid 90s? Yeah.
Yeah. Early. I think, yeah. Early. Probably, yeah. No, probably sort of like 94, 95. Yeah.
Okay. So just before the Super League era.
Yeah. So it would have been like Kevin King.
Yeah.
Chris Brandt. When you were getting in the Super League days, it would have been like Matt Cote, Rob Stewart.
So
what they did there is we skated on a Monday, and it's the same as sort of here, you'd go like, you know, 10s, 12s, 14s all in a row, and you would sort of have like a couple of players every week that would come on at like 6 o'clock when it started and sort of stay on for a good few hours. So I don't really remember skating with them, but I just remember them coming on the ice for practices. And then it was really good at games where they had the bar there after every game, home game, like Sunday night, Saturday night, a lot of the players would go in the bar and the fans would go up to the bar and you could have a drink with them and chat to them and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was kind of the way they did it there, either coming on the ice with us or just going up and sort of chatting to them afterwards.
Your first season in the BNL 2004-05 that I've got your stats for. How many former Panthers do you think you played with in that first season?
Can you name them? Can I count them? Or shall I just...
Do you want to name them?
I think Danny, I could have got that.
Danny, Richie, yep. Patrico.
Yes.
Risa.
Yes.
Ellie.
Yes. I think... God, there's another! Oh my word, there's more. You've got Patrico, you've got Ellie, you've got Danny Myers, you've got Risa.
Yeah.
So you've got another forward turned defenseman.
Ooh,
come on. Hopefully we won't listen to this podcast because he'll be mad. Corey Nielsen. Think of Corey Nielsen.
I said Danny, didn't I?
You said Danny, but think of Corey Nielsen, forward turned defenseman.
Rick Strachan?
No. Who did Corey turn from a forward to a defenseman?
I said Richie.
Did you say Richie? Okay.
Yeah, he did. Sorry, yeah.
You said Richie. Okay, we can take that one. There is one more that I genuinely don't remember this. Defenseman. Played for Paul Adey.
Oh, yeah. Crewless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I played the 2 years previous to that, or maybe even before that in the Super League. I played like a handful of games for the Bees when they had an injury.
So you would played have been with like Cadot then that year, maybe?
Yeah, it was like Cadot, Dan Seaman, Joe Cardarelli.
Of course.
Would you play with Druin?
No, I wish. No, he was like my hero. He was there when the Bees were really good. I probably missed him by like 2 years.
What a player.
Yeah, Cardarelli, Seaman, Cadot. I think that was probably it that played in Nottingham.
I mean, that's a remarkable number of players in the space of 2 or 3 years, isn't
it? Yeah, crazy, yeah. And then when I went to Basingstoke, sorry to just get onto my career here.
This is fun. I'm liking this.
But then obviously then I went to Basingstoke and we had like Bergin.
I'm just looking
at Curtis Cruikshank.
Yeah, Jim Shepherd didn't last long.
He was here for a bit.
Had a slight disciplinary problem and left.
There was a few. Yeah.
Before we That's got funny. In such trouble with the referees, but yeah, there's a lot. Danny Myers followed you there. I'm just looking at that.
I think I followed him, but yeah.
Oh really?
I missed Richie, but he went to Basingstoke briefly. But it was funny because he was supposed to come. Me and Danny signed there and he was supposed to come as well because the Bees like folded.
Yeah.
And then he changed his mind at the last minute and went to Cardiff. Probably a good decision.
Brilliant. Well, look, that was a great end. We've been going for nearly 30 minutes. So we probably better call it a day till anyone accuses us of we don't know what we're talking about. But that was a fun end. Maybe we'll just kind of go through your career. We'll move on to the next stage and find out how many former Panthers. But we've probably been through most of them. I mean, there you go. But that was a good way to end. OK, well, we'll be back on Saturday for the post-game podcast after Manchester at home. But for now, thanks everyone for joining us and we'll catch up with you soon.